This is where passion meets positivity and optimism. In a world where bad news abounds, You Are Solid Gold with Michelle Lau celebrates the good in our lives and the beauty in the hidden gems around us. Welcome to You Are Solid Gold. Here she is, international television host and QVC jewelry expert, Michelle Lau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to You Are Solid Gold with Michelle Lau. You know, I am so excited about today. I have dreamt about going to the Balkans. And so, of course, we've got our favorite travel expert, Tim Hennigan, is here from the Travel Collaborative. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
Good. It's so fun to be here with you today. Yeah, after the last couple of adventures that we've had together, I've just really been excited to talk to you about the Balkans.
Well, this is, as we head into summer, this is a great summertime destination. So I'm glad that we're talking about this now. Well, the Balkans, or as they're known as the former Yugoslavia in the old days, you know, included Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Montenegro, Slovenia, these different countries. What we're going to talk about today is the Adriatic coastline. So the Istrian Peninsula and Dalmatia heading south. And those have always been for Europeans a summertime, some fun in the sun destination. For many years, a lot of different cultures went through here. You had the Turks, you had the Greeks have been through. The Italians, the Venetians, the Austrians, a lot of cultures went through. And in the 19th century, the coastline became a very popular destination for well-to-do Austrians or Italians up and down the coast. Now it's coming back. A lot of Americans were not familiar with it during the days under Tito, when it was considered a Soviet bloc country. And in the 90s, it became interesting again. We built up a lot of destinations and beautiful places to stay, things to enjoy.
And with all of the coastline there, it's hard to know where to start, Tim. So could I make a suggestion? Let's start maybe with the capital of Croatia and work our way from there. Does that sound like a good plan?
That sounds good. The two areas that I'm really going to talk about, or the two countries and the two areas within that, are going to be the Istrian Peninsula heading south into Dalmatia and then crossing over the border at the end into Montenegro. I mentioned earlier, there's all these different cultural influences going. So in the north, you feel much more the Austrian influence. As you head south, you feel a lot of Italian influence, and then even some Greek influence or Turkish influence in the south. So sometimes I say you're heading from strudel through tiramisu down to baklava.
I love that. It's all about dessert.
So when I book this destination for my clients, depending how long they have, the coastline is really too long to do if you have a week vacation. So I'll either do a northern itinerary or a southern itinerary. But if you have the full time, I like to begin in the north and end in the south, keeping in mind that there are 720 islands to deal with. So there's many ways to cover this destination. You can rent a private yacht, which I have some beautiful examples, or we can travel by land. So let's fly into Zagreb. Let's say this is a trip.
Okay. Zagreb is Michelle's the capital city of Croatia. My dream trip. Okay, let's go.
You're going to fly into Zagreb. And Zagreb itself is among the European capitals, it is a very sort of small, workable destination. It doesn't quite have the size of something like London or something. And it's got a very pretty old town, very pretty castle area overlooking. One of my favorite places to visit is the Church of St. Catherine's, which is a Baroque church, and it is the most pink church I have ever seen in my life. It almost looks
pink.
Like a little
girl's
room.
So the stone is pink?
No, the interior painting of the church, enter the church itself, it is.
Well, that's got to be very soothing and that's a love color, right? So we're surrounding ourselves in love and softness. I actually really like that idea.
It looks very Valentine-like, or almost like a little girl's room in the 1950s.
Cool.
But what I'd really like to look at is continuing on from there, I'm going to go into the Istrian Peninsula. And okay. The Istrian Peninsula has been handed back between the Austrians and the Italians and the Croatians many times. And there are three different destinations within Istria that I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
One of them is going to be Pula, which is famous for its Roman amphitheater and Roman ruins. And the other one is going to be a Venetian city called Rovni, which is very picturesque. It's built on a conical hill with a beautiful church on top of the hill. And it's always surrounded by sailboats and fishing boats. It was a destination for fishermen. And the third one I want to talk about is Opatia, which in Italian is called Abbazia. And Opatia was built next to a medieval city called Velasco. And it was built by the Austrian aristocrats as sort of a Miami Beach or a Fort Lauderdale kind of getaway from Vienna that you would go to. And you can still see that in a lot of the architecture. There's a lot of gaslights and cherubs and beautiful parks. There's the Lungomare, which you stroll along in the evening after dinner if you want to have a nice seafood dinner while you're there.
Yeah, and that sounds great.
Gustav Mahler had a house there. It was visited often by the Empress Sissi while she was alive. A beautiful destination. And let's talk about where we're going to stay while we're on the Istrian Peninsula. And I have a place that I love very much called the Mengeti Wine Hotel. And this is
You're speaking my language.
Yes. Well, a lot of us speak that language. I speak it usually on the weekends, but I am tempted to have one right now. The wines of Croatia and the foods of Croatia are often overlooked, but they have some beautiful wines. So this is a very large working winery leading down to the sea, somewhat reminiscent of Napa, beautiful stone buildings, beautiful swimming pool, gastronomic experience. You can take wine tasting tours, wine tasting experiences, olive oil, all of the things that you'd want out of the Mediterranean, all while you're right by the pool and right by the sea because you are in the Istrian Peninsula. My second choice.
Oh, I can just feel the breeze. I can just feel the breeze. It's going to be great. Is the temperature there, you know, pleasant year round, or is there good times to go?
This is on the Adriatic coast, and it mirrors the Adriatic coast of Italy. So they're parallel to one another.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So you have much the same climate that you would have in Italy. And your seasons, really, the good times to go are probably late April through October.
All right.
The waters are warm and quite lovely to swim in. And so that's up and down the coast. And you'll meet a lot of other people who are vacationing just as a seaside vacation. If you're interested in something a little more old-fashioned, I'd like to recommend the Kvarner Hotel, which is a 19th century palace right in Opatia. And this will, you want to grab your parasol and your bonnet and stroll on the seaside along the Lungomare, and you almost feel that you might meet Gustav Mahler in the bar. Very grand spaces, beautiful swimming pool, and you have the lovely city of Opatia all around you. And at night, what I like to do when I'm staying in Opatia is walk along the Lungomare, enjoying the seaside, and come across the medieval town of Velasco, which is a fishing town. And there are many little restaurants with fresh seafood and lovely white wine jutting out into the water, so you can enjoy that and then have a stroll back to work off your meal.
Sounds lovely. And
before we leave, I want to give you a very traditional Zagreb present. And I want to give you a Croatian heart.
Oh.
So it's to welcome you to Croatia. And the Croatian hearts are ornaments or jewelry. They're made out of honeydew. Until they're finished being decorated, they can be edible, but they are not. You can keep them a while. And they make wonderful Christmas presents. And they also make wonderful jewelry. So these beautiful little
so they're cookies, is that right? But you can make them into jewelry, is that
they
correct?
Are, or they do are they cookies, use just... but they are, when they are finished being decorated, they are treated in a way that they are permanent. But they are.
This is really charming. I've never heard of this before. So that sounds like something really specific that we could take home as a keepsake. I bet they do Christmas tree ornaments and things like that. We're going to have to take one of those home for sure.
They are called lichitar, and they are very traditional, and they are great on your Christmas tree. And we are going to say goodbye to the Istrian Peninsula, and we're going to head south. Now, as I said, we have two choices. Three choices. We can do a rent-a-car, which is very easy to do while you're in Croatia, or we can get you a private guide and driver for the whole trip, if you like. And then the third is to rent a private yacht, and I have a very good yacht supplier.
Wow.
These are the kind of yachts that you might see on that television show that they have on Bravo about yachting. These include all of the
meals, where they live down
they
under.
They have hot tubs, you have a full staff. And that allows you to visit a lot of the island. I'm going to talk about different styles of accommodation. And some of them are very budget friendly. And some of them are really meant for the movie star kind of budget.
And boy, that's what I like to hear from you.
And as we are looking at the trip, I have on occasion been able to do a mix of these. So you can even do the really high end, beautiful ones. And you've saved some money here and there, so your overall cost of the trip can remain within your budget. I try to tailor a trip to a client, much like a tailor would do with a suit. I want to learn what you're interested in, what you're dreaming of seeing, what you want to get out of the destination, and also what you're able to budget for that time, for that experience. And I try to do the very best. And sometimes I might say to you, if we go over a little bit more, you'll have an unforgettable experience. Or I can say, oh, I found a sale. We can do this all within your budget. So I always try to do the next thing. So we're traveling by land, and we're going to head south, and we're going to go to Plitvice National Park. These are the ones who like to actually stroll and see a bit of nature. There are two national parks that we're going to be going by right here called Plitvice and Kurka National Parks, and they have a stunning array of waterfalls and hiking.
How romantic.
You can go for romantic, and you really are reminded that there is also, there's more than old castles and churches and palaces. There's also nature. So they can provide you a lot of hiking. And there is one place that I like to book in Plitvice National Park, and it's called the Fenomen House in Plitvice. And these are different little houses and buildings. You can rent an entire little village or a suite within a main building. And they are made to resemble traditional Croatian country houses. A lot of them have their own kitchens and their own facilities, but they have a lovely restaurant as well. And the park is right outside your door.
So what does a traditional cottage in Croatia look like? What can we expect
to
see?
In this northern part of Croatia, these are wooden houses that you might see in Austria or Slovenia.
I see.
A little bit alpine looking. And as we head further south toward Žibenik, you can also check out Kurka National Park, which also has stunning waterfalls as well. That's good. But I do strongly recommend staying a couple of nights for all of my clients at Fenomen House. And we're going to stop in the town of Žibenik, which is a beautiful. People always think of one thing. They think of Dubrovnik. And Dubrovnik is a beautiful walled medieval city on the Adriatic. But it's not the only one. It's just the most famous one. And Žibenik is also charming and worth a couple of nights. But we're going to leave the land for a bit. And we're going to take a day cruise, which you can do for many of the islands. And we're going to go to Zlarin. Because I'm with Michelle, I want to go to Zlarin. And I want to visit Zlarinka jewelry. In Croatia, ooh, for centuries and centuries, they have been harvesting coral. And
I know coral. Ooh, I love coral, yes.
And it's this beautiful pinkish red coral that they're harvesting. And there is a shop that is owned by some lovely women on Zlarin called Zlarinka. And they hand make jewelry for you. And they also have a workshop that you can see what they're doing and see how it's made. They've had a very long relationship with the jewelry over the years. They're having to dive deeper for the coral now than they used to in the Middle Ages. It used to be readily available. But you'll find this up and down the coast of Croatia. This is something that's been very popular for a long time. In fact, they tend to give small children, when babies are born, they'll make a coral bracelet for the baby, because coral is a living thing. It reacts to different conditions. And the legend is, if the baby is unwell, the coral will turn white. So you better see the doctor.
That's so cool. There's so much legend and lore surrounding gemstones. And I've never heard that, as long as I've been in the jewelry business, which has been 30 years. I have never heard that story. And I love that. So it's like a little keepsake, but it also can let you know the wellness of the baby, which is really charming.
Zlatan is part of the Kornati Islands, which is, we have a beautiful day trip that can be done only out of Žibine. So as you're heading south, so you park the car, you enjoy that. And then you come back and you continue heading south to the ancient city of Split. Split did not begin its life as a city. Split began its life as a palace. It was a palace belonging to the Roman Emperor Diocletian. And he built it as his retirement villa. He was retired. He was getting on in life, and his Roman emperors often did. He passed away.
Spent his whole life probably building this palace, and then only had 4 years. Well, I hope he enjoyed those 4 years.
I hope he did too. I think it wasn't his only palace, and I think he enjoyed a lot of things up until then.
Well, good for him.
But after the fall of Rome, different populations moved in, and the city grew inside of and around Diocletian's palace, which is now called Split. So we're gonna check in. Again, I'm gonna give you three options depending on your taste and budget. My favorite one is a medieval building called the Judita Palace, which is connected to the walls of the old palace and right in the center of the city. The interiors are very respectful of the history of the place, and it almost feels like a museum, as many of these places do in and of itself. The other place that you might want to consider is the exact opposite, which is about 10 or 15 minute walk away from the old town. And it is called the Hotel Brieg. And it is space age modern. It is a very futuristic looking, fascinating design with a rooftop pool and big wide open spaces with lovely plate glass views. That provide you looking from the very new to the very old and out over the sea. So that's another great choice.
So it's one of those types of places where you feel like you're right on the water, like you're really immersed in nature. That's
we are hugging the coast on this trip. Yes.
I love it.
And the city of Split is right on the water as well. And the third one is slightly out of town, in the town of Trogir. And it is called the Little Brown Hotel in Trogir. And it's a small beachside, poolside resort for fun in the sun. The other thing that we're gonna have to start mentioning, because we are talking about Croatia at this point, is the all-encompassing, ever so famous Game of Thrones.
Yes, 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 love that show. Oh my gosh, yes, I am the mother of doggies after watching that show. Yeah.
I am the father of cats after watching that show as well. One of my favorite things, if you're a big traveler or a travel agent and you see that show, one of the big things in between all the bloodshed and violence in the show is going, I know what that is. That's in Ireland. That's in Iceland. And a lot of it was filmed in Croatia.
I bet you watched it in a completely different way.
It really would pull me out of the moment show. Because I'd be like, I've been there.
Exactly. Like, that's Croatia.
Yeah, I know exactly. Wow. The street where she's walking, you know, with a bell behind her. Shame, shame. So in fact, Dubrovnik, as we're heading south, was played the part of King's Landing. And outside of Split, there is the Klis Fortress, which was the city of Marie, slaver's city that the mother of dragons freed. At one point. So it's impossible to separate Game of Thrones from Croatia, for they're filming the prequel now.
Oh, really? How fun.
So they're
how fun.
Very
I can't wait
about that.
This might be a good time to go, actually, and to see Croatia, to see the area before that happens and gets really populated.
And then you feel really in the know. Now, since we're talking about Croatia as a seaside destination, I do a lot of honeymoons in Europe. And so one party wants the Caribbean, one party wants romantic Europe. And Croatia is a way to combine all of that. Over here on this side of the Atlantic, we enjoy really beautiful beaches. So we have the Caribbean, we have Florida, we have the National Seashore, Cape Cod here in Massachusetts. And we're used to what a beach is. A lot of European beaches tend to be a bit rockier, but there are places in Croatia that are exceptions to that rule. You have to remember that Croatia, coastline of Croatia basically is the Dinaric Alps tumbling directly into the sea. They don't stop. You've got mountains right into the sea, so a lot of it is rocky outcropping that you swim in. Great destination for divers. As well, because there's a lot of stuff that's been left under the water over the centuries that's very interesting for divers.
That's a very, very good tip. So in case people are just tuning in and watching for the first time or listening to this on their favorite podcast, I'm here in the studio today with Tim Hennigan from the Travel Collaborative, and we are exploring Croatia. We were just talking about some of Tim's favorite places. We've visited the north, and now we're in the midst of the south, and we're talking at the present time about the water, about being on the coast. So welcome again, Tim. Thanks for being here.
There is in fact a diving park off of that where they have some shipwrecks where very serious divers can go and enjoy that. It's also a good place to learn to dive. So yes. And as I was saying, there's not all that many sandy beaches that we might expect in the Caribbean, but there are some, and a lot of them can be found on the islands. And what's nice about that is because we are leaving off in the city of Split. And as we do that, this is where I ask my clients to forget about their car. They drop off the car, or if they have a private driver, the driver will continue on without them, because this is where we're going to head south by catamaran or ferry. Now, while we're in Split, there is one island that is close enough to Split that you can do as a day tour, and that's the island of Brač, which has a very beautiful medieval center. It also has the Petrinovich family mausoleum on Brač, which is very famous among sculpture fans. It's late 19th, early 20th century mausoleum, and it's an extensive sculpture park, and it's worth a visit. And in fact, at one point when I was there, I actually met one of the Petrinoviches who was sitting out with all of his dogs in the middle of the mausoleum. And we got to talking. He asked where I was from, and I told him Boston. And he said, oh, I went to MIT. So there was a connection there as well. So we're going to leave Split, and we're going to get on a catamaran, and we're going to have a choice. What I like to do with my clients is there are two of the most famous of the 720 islands off of Croatia, two of the most famous and visited as we're heading toward Split. And I usually have a client choose one of them. And one is called Hvar, and the other is called Korčula. And it's very simple. You just walk to the edge of the old city. The ferry port is there. You get on. It's not very far. You're in one or two of these islands. The ferries make a stop, and both of them on their way to Dubrovnik. And on both of the islands, there are some very beautiful, large seaside resorts. But I'm always looking, as you might imagine, for things that are created out of originality and love, things that that are not easy to find, things that are very special, one of a kind, little gems that I like to call. So I've got one on each of these islands that are a little bit
unusual. Tell me.
And the first one is called a little green bay, excuse me, and it's also called the Non Hotel, because
it
is not a hotel, because it is the creation of a Parisian designer, Julie, and her brother Matthew, who have discovered this old farmhouse over a nice little beach, surrounded by green forest on the island of Hvar. So it is a very intimate, small, and very forward-thinking design hotel.
Okay, now this sounds fantastic. So I love the idea of it not only being very small and intimate, but being owned by family. You know, this is really exciting. How did you ever discover them? And how long have you been visiting or sending people their way?
Well, how did I discover them? It's my job to know these things. That's how.
Again, we need Tim Hennigan, right?
Or we can say, I don't want to do Huar. I'm going to do the island of Korchula instead. And this is one that I like called the Lezhich Dmitry Palace. And the Lezhich Dmitry Palace makes the claim of being next door to the original home of Marco Polo. Now, that's a thing that I'm going to speak about very carefully because any Venetian will be offended by this because Marco Polo was Venetian. He was from Venice. But you have to remember this area belonged to Venice. So it's very possible that he was from this town, but nobody knows for sure. But Korchula, anyone from Korchula will tell you Marco Polo was from Korchula, not from the city of Venice. And so this is an ancient palace, I believe it's an 18th century palace, that has been refurbished into an all-suite hotel. It's a member of Relais and Chateau. Ooh. And each of the rooms are named after places that Marco Polo encountered, China, Asia, India. And I think it's only got 6 or 8 rooms, so not very many. So if you'd like to stay here, This is something that is that you want to book well in advance. The staff is very friendly, and again, family owned. Both of these islands also provide wine tasting, olive oil oil tasting. All of them provide the opportunity for a sailing trip that's going to be available up and down the coast as you go if you have not taken your own yacht. So on your way, continuing south, you've chosen one of the islands, you sat by the pool, you've had your drink, it's time for more history, and we're going to go to the very most famous fabled in song and story, and certainly on the cruise lines. And I've got 3 places to stay here as well for you in Dubrovnik. Now, Dubrovnik's a little tricky. Dubrovnik, the ancient city, the old part of town within the walls, is very small. It's like a little village almost. And frequently these, in the summertime, these large cruise ships will pull up, and it can be a bit overwhelming. So people who are visiting Dubrovnik have to choose, do we want to stay inside the old city where I have one option for you, or just outside where I can keep an eye on the best time to go and visit where I can do so peacefully and at my leisure. So we're going to start within the old walls of the city. There is a very old medieval building, and it's called the Pučić Palace, which is very historic, very lovely, and it's right in the middle of the city. You'll feel like you're a resident of King's Landing living there. And that's one of the favorites. The second one.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of the surroundings, the fact that it is kind of contained? You think that's why it's one of the favorites with your clients?
Dubrovnik has been probably the most famous city in Croatia for centuries. It's always been a place to visit, and mainly because its medieval walls are relatively intact.
I see. So people are drawn.
But that does enclose it. So it is a small space, and it's a really wonderful place to walk around the medieval walls and see the beautiful rooftops, and then go into the old rector's palace and the maritime museum and the aquarium. So the next place I want to talk about is someplace that I've just only recently discovered, and it's the Hotel Villa Nobile, which is right outside Pile Gate.
And so I just like hearing you say that. Say that again.
The Villa Nobile, si.
Oh!
So I'm hoping, my pronunciation, a lot of these things is not that great, but I don't know.
It sounds great to me. It's getting me all excited to go to Croatia.
Well, I'm going to show this to my Croatian friends, and I'm sure they'll have notes.
But hello, Croatian friends.
But, and again, it's got a small collections of rooms, all named after influences in the area. You've got the musicians' rooms, the writers' rooms, named after Ivo Vanovic, the artist's room, the captain's room, etc. And it, again, what I like about this place is it's set amid these really green leafy gardens with palm trees, and it's right outside. So if the city is too much for you, you can just escape right into the gardens and have a lovely glass of something and wait until it's a little more quiet to go back into town. Or you can make the movie star choice.
Oh, all right, let's do that. Let's dream for just a moment. Yeah.
And where would that you go? Actually it's not that bad. It can be affordable within a budget, depending on how we make other choices. And this is called the Villa Dubrovnik. And the Villa Dubrovnik is set out on a rocky bluff, overlooking the old city. So what's really nice about it is most of the public spaces and many of the rooms are looking directly at the old city. And as you can see from the old city walls, it looks like a fairy tale castle rising out of the sea from your room. And if you want to go into the old city, you walk into their beach. And when I say beach, I mean a series of rocky platforms that are built on so that you can dive right in. There really isn't sand at the hotel, but they do provide a water shuttle for guests who don't want to walk maybe the 25 minutes it takes to get to the old town, if you want to take the water shuttle instead, or they can take you out to Lokrum Island or any of the other touring that you want to do while you're there. Villa Dubrovnik was actually at one point a retirement home for members of the Communist Party during the 20th century. So it is a very 20th century structure. The areas are very big and modern and spacious, and there's a lot of glass for a lot of views. And before you leave the Dubrovnik, we want to make sure we're going to have a very special dinner. And this dinner is going to be at a place called the Nautica restaurant, which is built into the old city walls, looking out over the water and toward Loranich Tower or St. Lawrence's Tower, which you will also recognize from Game of Thrones. And it's right there. You're in the midst of history, having this really wonderful meal with just this beautiful backdrop. So it's a very romantic meal that you can go on. You can also visit Clara Stones while you're there to pick up a few little bit more jewelry. It's not just a jewelry store. They make what is local and they show you how it's made. They do have pearls and diamonds. The owners are Anya and Vittorio, and they are happy to do that as well. So that is very much worth something that you would enjoy seeing. Some other things that you can do, by the way, before we leave Dubrovnik, that we are happy to arrange for you, maybe sea kayaking around the Elafiti Islands, or exploring outside of town, Kavtat and rural Kanavale, which are really very much worth seeing. So it's not just the old city, but we're gonna leave now and we're gonna cross the border and we're gonna go into Croatia. And that's where we're going to end our trip. And we're going to stop in one of my favorite towns called Kotor in Montenegro. And Kotor is, again, a beautiful old walled medieval city that is built into the side of the mountain. And the other thing about Kotor is it was believed to have been saved by cats. That is the legend. The sailors were coming back home during one of their wars. And the cats saved the city from the attacks of the rats and other things that were invading the city. So cats are very important in Kotor, and it's a bit overrun. There is a cat museum, which is owned by an Italian, opened by an Italian countess, Francesca di Monreale Mantica. And there's also Kotor Kitties, which is an organization, if you wanted to donate to, that takes care of the street cats of Kotor. If you want to do some exploring in Kotor, I don't recommend it for people that have any walking disabilities or
I appreciate that information too.
Yeah. A lot of Croatia is old and steep. So you might want to think about that as well. But the charming, it's just one of the charming villages that you're going to stop in on your way south.
Okay, so this is another great reason to call Tim if you're planning a vacation like this. He knows where to stay in places like Croatia. He knows where to go if you do have mobility issues, if you do have, some special needs. He can really guide us along the way. I mean, this is one of the reasons I love working with him myself personally. So again, if you need more information from Tim Hennigan, I'm going to put it in the notes how you can reach him directly. But we are in the final turn of our trip.
And we're going to continue on past another lovely city called Perasht. And we are going to, as I promised, the most spectacular Lives of the Rich and Famous movie star destination that we're where we're going to end our trip. And this is called the Aman Shveti Stefan. And I love this place. It's not for everyone. As I said, it's not in every budget. And also it is about 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours out of Dubrovnik. It's better if you're gonna be ending here to fly instead out of Podgorica, and there's not as much lift as there is out of Dubrovnik. So you kind of have to make an effort to come down here, but if you do, it's worth it. I visited this place before Aman Resorts took it over. Some of you might know Aman Resorts as being one of the most exclusive collection of resorts in the world. Even though the rooms hadn't seen a renovation or a paintbrush probably since the 70s, I was still blown away by it. The island of Shveti Stefan is a very small island connected, not unlike Mont-Saint-Michel in France, by a little land bridge or a little strip of sand to the mainland. And it is a walled city. It was built in defense against the Turks, so the walls are still intact. It was a fishing village for a very long time. And it looks a bit like your own private Dubrovnik because it is, again, a walled medieval city, but nobody's there but the guests. And this place has a collection of its own beaches. The entire resort is the old city, including the chapel and all of the little houses and all of the plazas and squares and fountains. So there's different collections of rooms and suites and villas. Some of them have their own pools. There's an extensive spa. There's a lot of activities that they can arrange for you. And you can choose. You can stay within the village itself, out on the rocky outcropping, which means you have to walk out and then across the land bridge to get to one of the beaches. And these are sandy beaches there. Or you can stay at Villa Moloser, which is also on the property. And that also has a couple of suites. And that was a private residence originally built for the Queen of Yugoslavia in the early.
Wow.
So
you can,
so you can really feel just like royalty. This one is very special and unique and a bit of history that you're living in while you're there, right there on the Bay of Kotor and the surrounding mountains, which provide you all of the different activities that you might want to have. You can get an incredible spa treatment. You can enjoy the Bay of Kotor and visit the surrounding villages, which are just as beautiful. And so you can end your trip on a beautiful high note.
Oh, I love this. This whole itinerary sounds fantastic. I just can't wait to see what you come up with next. Tim, you are really solid gold. You have become my partner in crime here on these travel segments, and I just can't thank you enough. I mean, I go there in my mind every time we talk. So if people want to reach you, I will put your contact information in the notes. And until next time, my friend, you stay safe. I'm counting on you now. You truly are solid gold.
Hi, Michelle.
Thank you for joining us on You Are Solid Gold. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Would you please subscribe, like, and share this episode? If you know of a person, place, or thing that is a hidden gem that we should feature on Solid Gold with Michelle Lau, please submit it for consideration at hello@youaresolidgold.com. Now, get out there and shine.